Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its kings and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city, one. This you shall do 6 days. And on the seventh, seven priests shall bear seven trumpets because of the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass, and when they make the long blast, they're playing all the time, but they made a certain blast, that when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Come on. Anybody been frustrated over the last year by anything? Come on, let's just relieve ourselves. Anybody want to holler at the TV at our politicians? Anybody? Anybody want to holler at all that negative stuff? Okay, let's just do it right now. All three of you go holler Jesus. We don't know something. I'm from the South. We don't say shout, we say holler. So we go holler Jesus. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Oh, I feel better now. Here we go. And the wall of the city will fall down flat. And people shall go up there and man straight ahead of him. Over verse 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose up early, about dawn, and marched around the city seven times. And on that day, they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened. That's what we need that it happens today. Amen. When the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord is giving you the city. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you in the name of Jesus. There are people here that have strongholds that are holding them back. There are people in here that have that need breakthrough in areas that are controlling. God, there are people in here that need to hear your word spoken to their strongholds. God, there are people in here that have broken lines. There are people in here that have generational curses. That we need to see what you see. And God, I ask you right now to touch every person. God, I ask you to bless our country. God, I pray that Tuesday will be a day of peace. I pray that Tuesday will be a day of peace. I pray for our president-elect. I pray that you will bless him with your presence. I pray for all the Congress, all of them, to have an experience with the risen Lord. God, I just ask you to bless him with your presence. God, touch him. God, we need them to make good choices. And I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You just address something. Just real quick, because I get a lot of pushback. People say, now I'm asking the Lord to bless them. Well, if they're in charge, don't you want them to make that decision? And the second thing, I know some of you. I know you know who you were and God saved you. Some of you were heavy. And here you are, God saved you. Then God can save anybody. He can touch anybody. Amen? And so I'm praying for it. That's what the Bible calls us to do. So we're talking about this year, that this is a year God wants to break down strongholds in our lives. He wants to break down, have breakthrough in things that are stealing the promises of God. Not what you want. You don't get just that main stuff and all that, but are stealing what God has promised us. Stealing our promises. See, God says, I'm giving you that land. Well, he knew that walled city was in there. And God, this is the year God wants to press through. That's why we're fasting. That's why we're praying. For walls to come down. For revelation. For direction. To take down our walls. And we started by first recognizing You're not going to be able to defeat things if you don't realize God's in charge. If you don't have it settled in your mind, God's in charge, I'm not. If you're still the master of your destiny, and hey, I'm doing pretty good so far, well, hang on, baby. Just hang on. You'll screw it up sooner or later. Because you don't have all the information. And we can't do it alone. We need people. God ordained relationship. And we'll talk more next week about the life group. You need to be in a life group. We cannot do it alone. And if you think you can, you're in pride. Which is really bad. Which is worse than being alone. I need relationships. We talked about last week about circumcision, about we've got to put off the things of the flesh. The things of the flesh. Sin, but also the attitudes and the hearts of the flesh. We've got to put them off. We've got to cut them off before we can say it. He said, do circumcision before you attack the city. Because we are a sign of the covenant that there is God. What did Moses say? We read it last week. What did he say? He said, how will the people know there's a difference between us and them if your presence is the presence? Man. God's presence, we are a sign that there is a God and a covenant. Amen? Now today I'm going to talk about pressing through and attacking your stronghold. And learning how to take down your stronghold. And learning how to not put up with things that God is directing your path. Look at verse 2. Most of us live in verse 1. Where he said, the city was locked up tight. Most of us live there. God wants to get us to verse 2. See, I have given you the city and everything in it. I've given you that stronghold. See it. And most of us, what has changed? First of all, physically, what has changed from verse 1 to verse 2? Nothing. It was only see it from God's eyes. We have got to learn. That's what faith is. Faith is, I'm seeing something that is where God wants to take me. I know where God. I can declare. Some of you need to declare. What's going on in my life right now is not God's plan. It's not God's will that I be trapped in unforgiveness or addiction. Or, in pornography or whatever. It's not God's will. I need to see that there's a stronghold that God has given me. Are you hearing me? I got to see it through His eyes. I've got to allow the Lord to speak to me His word. What does He say about those things? I got to be able to see it through what He's already done. I got to see it through His heart. His heart is a little, He's not wanting to leave me like I am. I've got to see it through His word. That's why testimonies are so important in your life. Testify what God has done. Me and Andy did this yesterday morning. You can get on what we did yesterday morning. We were talking about Isaac and the words and what God did and what God has done in his birth. And several, we started telling testimonies of what God has done. Well, guess what? How many of you have ever had God do some sort of miracle if it's just for salvation? Raise your hand. I got good news for you. He ain't run out. He's not weak. He ain't beat up. And we've got to take our eyes on what, first of all, what's not done and see what he has done. We left there drinking our coffee instead of going, oh God, another day. Wonder who's going to get COVID today. Coming up. Oh God. How are we going? I buy all of them a car. I got to buy Isaac a car. I don't buy him insurance. I buy that car and say, look, you wrecked it, you kill it. It's over. It's dead. you know, I can get overwhelmed with that. I can just, man, you know, somehow I look back, I bought 8 others. Somehow, I ate before. I'm eating well. Can I get a witness? I'm alright. Well, he ain't forgot us. And he started in turn. It's what you see. It's what you focus. I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down in big letters, focus. It's what you decide to focus on. We are the only creatures that God created that can take captive our thoughts. Every other animal, and I love animals, and man, dogs, I get in trouble every time, you know. I mean, no, they are not as important as humans. It's okay you love your animal, but care about the people around you as much as you care for that animal. Well, I don't like people around me. Well, there's your problem. There's your sign. Understand, we're the only ones that can take. He said, in fact, in 2 Corinthians, he said, take your thoughts captive. Now let me tell you what's going on right now. I am not one. I don't deny it. The funerals. I don't overlook it. The 800-pound gorilla in the room that nobody wants to talk about. We are being pushed right now. Satan is trying to push us. I just want to stop for a minute. I know. Look, I'm not oblivious. I got friends that are dying through COVID. I've got things, you know, what has the chaos and this whole year, and it looks like this coming year, all the chaos has already happened. All the things, I'm not oblivious to that. I know it's happening. I know what's going on. I got friends calling me, telling me, pray for me. I understand. And if I focus on that, I will let Satan steal every bit of faith and hope and joy and peace that I have. I'm not denying that. I'm not one of those super spiritual people that, oh, don't ever say nothing bad around me. You know I'm sick, but don't ever say it. Why? If I'm sick, I don't mind saying I'm sick. But I don't have to stay sick. Do you understand? I'm not one of those that denies reality. But sooner or later, we gotta look. I am not here. You are not here. And I don't know if I sound angry. I'm not. I'm passionate. I am not called to build the kingdom of America. I am called to build God's kingdom. That's the one that's gonna last forever. And you better wake up and start looking through the eyes of His kingdom. If I die today, if I die, celebrate with a barbecue and blue mouth because I'm in heaven. Sooner or later, me and my sister, you know, and most of you know what's going on with her. We sat and looked at each other. I have got to believe that God has my day's number. If I don't believe that, man, whoa, throw this thing in reverse. It's what you focus on. I had a lady. Most of us just stay in the first one. The city securely locked up. And we just keep pronouncing that over and over again. Well, look, God, look how securely locked up. Look, God, this is. Look at what's happening. Look at that, God. I don't want to look. I don't want to stay in verse 1. I want to say, see, friend of mine, when father died, a week later, mother died, and we both were good help. Look, I'm so confused by this virus. I don't know. I mean, people, nothing. I mean, people getting well with all kinds of heart problems during the week as well, and then people that seem, and then you live with somebody and you don't catch it, but people that are trying to wear masks, they catch it. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is, no matter what happens, the kingdom of God is still going to be here.
Right.
So they told me, of course you cry. So I love my mom and dad. They were in good health. They were in early 80s. But she said, hey, we had a good time. Man, we had a good, I had a good dad, mom. And guess what? I'm going to see them again. Well, that's focus. You can choose to focus on what you see and what Satan wants you to see. You can focus on what God. I can look. I can destroy my. Contrary to my belief, she's got some balls. She does. They small ones, but she does. I mean, she's short. She is. God, all of my children are short. Now I can focus on that. I'm fixing to help somebody married because I just felt like the Lord told me to say this. Your problem with your marriage is not your mate. It's because you focus on what's wrong with it, on him. You're always focusing. Well, guess what, baby? That was wrong with him when you married him. But you didn't choose to focus on it because you were in love and you loved all the good stuff. You were focused on the good stuff. You can kill your marriage by what you focus on. You can kill your faith by what you focus on. I don't want to be, I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to move to New Zealand and live in a shack and just not worry about it. I don't want to lose heart. I want to see what God sees. I want to see this. I'm getting to the city amidst the people shut up, locked up. Does that make sense? Some of you just have spent so long seeing the wrong thing, you can't see one. Hope which was lost has been restored. That's what we're saying. Second thing, you're taking your promise away. You got to focus on what God says, his word, his heart, what he says. I got to see what he sees. Faith reigns there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? His word. Second thing, if you're going to take your cross, if I hear, man, I'm fixing to gig somebody, man, boom, and twist the knife. You got to just. Well, then, you know, we sing this song, Jesus paid it all to it. Yeah, yeah. Jesus did it all. But they had to get their butt out there and walk around it. And they had to shout when he said, shout. You got to just hear. I have heard a million people tell me, why doesn't God just take this desire away from me? I don't want to eat bluebell anymore, God. Take it away. Take it away, Lord. Take that desire away. Sound kind of silly that sounds? You can't cast out the flesh. It says, cut it off, put it away from you. You got to participate. And the main way, the first way, hear me now, I'm going to stay right here as you hit this nail as hard as I can. The main way you've got to start this way, where you start first, is with your mouth. It says by the confession of your mouth. You've got to start with your mouth. He told her, he didn't tell them, throw things. He told them, All is the power of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. Look at it. Look at it. Life and death? Are you kidding me? Life and death are in the power of your mouth? I wonder if Michigan and Burton County has not been blessed because just the church, because we're the ones who got the Spirit of God, we speak death over. Because life and death are in the power of your tongue. If you're a griper and a complainer and a murmurer, you will never possess your promise. You've got to understand what you say is important. Anybody on me, man, if I open this door, we'd be here forever. Of course, me and Andy are trying something new. I can't tell you that I'm really excited about it. We found it in Walmart. We found vegetable meatballs. So we're having spaghetti and vegetable meatballs. So I can't say that I'm just... Woo! Oh, they said they taste just like me. Yeah. I ain't never met a priest broccoli that tasted like me. So I'm going to be here a while. We're going to shut the office. Do you understand? You've got to participate with your mouth. And notice what the commands he gave them. The first thing he told them, you read it. He said, the first 6 days, be quiet. Be quiet. Has your mate changed because you pour out their faults every day? Don't answer. If I can answer for you, no. Then why do we keep pouring out? Why didn't he tell them, you be quiet until I tell you to? Because they had just spent 40 years in the wilderness. They had just spent 40 years with no promise at all. He didn't want anybody speaking doubt and unbelief. Be quiet. Some of you need to stop talking. Don't give me your opinion. Give me what God said. I mean, are we delusional to think? It just blows my mind some Christians think their faith rests on whether this country lasts or not. Man, in 1,000 years, America ain't gonna be here. But guess what? The kingdom of God is, he's gonna have a kingdom, he's gonna have a church, he's gonna have people rest if you don't come back. Which I'm hoping for today, right now. I bet there ain't no vegetarian meatballs in heaven. By God, we get the real thing. I'll put on Instagram how they are, I'll tell you. But here's the deal. I gotta participate with my mouth. The first thing I gotta do is stop speaking, sowing seeds. The Bible says the word is the sperma, the seed. I am sowing seed. Somebody, look, put it on Facebook. Type it on Facebook, it's just the same as saying. Some of you don't know why. You don't feel God, you're not possessing, you're not happy. It's because you're speaking death on somebody else. And what you sow, you reap. I love it when people say, that church is just full of a bunch of sinners. Duh. Wow, are you a retarded person? Where have you been? Yeah. We're all imperfect. I've never did myself perfect. I make mistakes. But what we are, what we can focus on, is what we can do together. What God wants to bring us together and do. We can't focus on what's right about. First thing you got to do to participate with your mouth is you need to be quiet. I want to say this. Me and I didn't talk about this yesterday. When I am down and I speak, here's what David, you just read Psalm 73. first 14 verses, he is spewing, he is griping, he's complaining, he is feeling sorry for himself. You know, all the stuff you do sometimes. Well, I love it. God, the wicked ain't got no problem. They ain't got no pain in their death. God, they are prospering. Look at it. And he starts feeling sorry for him. I have washed my hands in vain. I've done this. God, I stood up here. I've been a Sunday school teacher for 30 years, Lord. I mean, Lord, I went to church. I dropped $10 in the plate, God. And here's what he said. If I would have spoken, I would have betrayed the next generation. You know why children are falling away from church? When they get 18, they leave the church. Because the older generation is speaking death over them. They're speaking all their wonders and problems and all that. If I would have voiced what was going on, I would have betrayed the next generation. Then the second part of participating with your mouth is declaring what God has said. What did Joshua say when you hear the music? Shout. What did he say? For God has given us this thing. Declaring the word of the Lord, what God says. Admitting what you see, but when it don't line up with what God has promised, shout for what you have given us the city. What has God said? What does his word say? This is why worship is so important and powerful. Sometimes I just drag myself in here. Satan shows up in my house too. I mean, my wife, you know. Yeah. I mean, I got kids. Satan shows up. Can I get a witness? Sometimes I just drag myself in here, and what worship does for me, and y'all ain't figured out, a lot of you haven't figured it out yet. Well, I don't feel like worshiping. I ain't happy. I'm having a bad day. When is God going to do something for me? You haven't figured out worship when I start declaring who God is. Savior, King, you are the Lord. You died for me. You are my rock, my firm foundation. You are the one I'm standing. That's the truth I'm standing. All of a sudden I feel my spirit begin to grow and I see things that I didn't see. And all of a sudden hope is renewed, all because I'm declaring not what I see with my flesh, but what I see when God's around. His word, declaring his word. But look at me. It's got to come out of your mouth first. How do I know that? Because God says, I don't do nothing until I inform the prophets first. Until the prophets declare it. God's chosen to work through us. Could God have knocked down those walls himself? Could God fix you, your marriage, with a wave of his wand? Yeah. But the way God has chosen to work on earth is, we have to participate. What are you declaring over yourself? Amen. Amen. Oh, it ain't never going to be no better. Let me tell you one fact. See, when you're in authority, when you declare something over your children, good God. See, God works. And I don't have, this is not an authority sermon, but you need to be submitted to authority. There is a spiritual realm that recognizes authority, and they're the ones that. Why do you think New Orleans is like it is? Why do you think it's just where perfectly normal people go down there and they just lose their mind? Some of you are looking at me like, don't look at me. Why is that?
Because the authority of that city every year raises his cup and says, "Hail, King of Carnival, Rex," which is in the Greek is the god of revelry. The city, he says this with his mouth, he's the authority. The city is yours. There was a pastor I know. Y'all don't know him, so in Texas. He stood up, large church, had a youth group of about 200. He stood in his pulpit. I'm just going to tell you the facts. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to be negative for just a second, and then I want to... He stood in the pulpit of his church and declared, "I would rather have our youth sleep around than speak in tongues." Could call his name. Now, obviously, he wasn't a charismatic pastor. Obviously. Can I tell you, because I know the people, over the next 2 years, 85% of that youth group was either pregnant or had gotten somebody pregnant. They shut the youth group down. Now, if we know that's true in the negative, we know it's true in the positive. Amen. What are you declaring over you? Are you too busy pointing out faults and negatives and what happened hasn't happened? Or are you declaring what God has done? Why did Joshua just go with it? Because he knew what God has done. Sometimes I need to remind myself what God has done. I need to remind myself. Some of you said, "Well, I grew up hard, man. It was hard. Where was God then?" Well, you're here. You made it through. Who do you think gave you that strength? Understand. What you let out of your mouth is important. Now, don't get crazy. I'm not talking about joking and all that stuff. You know, when you're just having fun. But what are you declaring over your marriage, over your children? Over yourself. That's why it's important I declare God's word and what he has said. Why? Because then not only am I releasing power, but I've come into agreement. I've come into agreement with what God has already said. Like some of you, I want you to get, look, I ain't getting rid of her. Ever. With the number of children I have, can you imagine how much money I'd make the alimony and take it? It's like, man, no. But here's what I'm saying. Because why? Because, and then what I declare, especially when things aren't going well. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. See, some of you are pointing out what's negative instead of declaring, God says, I found a good thing. That's a good thing. That's how it works. Are you building strongholds in your life? Or are you tearing them down? Are you building them in other people? Or are you tearing them down? Are you declaring? Are you shouting what God says? Or are you fearful because of what you see? Anybody ever had... somebody give you an encouraging word when you were down and just Proverbs 15:23. I just want to throw this. This is the power we have. Words spoken at the right time. Man, how good it is. You prop people up. You release freedom on them. Which one are you? What's going on with you? What are you declaring over yourself? It says they shouted with a great shout. That's why God loves wholehearted worship. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know you know, I don't know. But I got to believe, man, I don't want to lose Art. I got to believe that God says I got his peace and his joy, and he'll take care of me, and he'll walk me through any storm. Now, what do you see? What are you seeing? Some of you are walking through hard times. Are you concentrating on those hard times? Are you asking the Lord to let you see? Two times in the Bible, the prophet. Remember, the king hated the prophet because every time the king wanted to do something, the prophet would tell the other king, hey, he's planning to attack you here at this time. And he said, man, what's going on? And he surrendered his army and surrounded. Anybody feel trapped, surrounded? And his servant had to be American, Southern Christian, because he comes in freaking out. Save the toilet paper. You know, and that was, I mean, to me, that was the epitome of the stupidity of being driven by fear. I mean, if we run out of toilet paper, you got way bigger problem. We got stuff going on that is way above toilet paper. As long as there's leaves, I got toilet paper. But we freaking out. We had people say, oh, they're going to close the grocery stores. That's that guy, the prophet's servant. Oh, the king's sent his army. We're surrounded. Some of you feel trapped and surrounded by the devil. The prophet, I guarantee he giggled. Man, we should laugh more. I'm sure he did it. He said, Lord, let him see. And he told him to look a little higher. Look a little higher. And all of a sudden he saw all the armies of the Lord that surrounded. He had ambushed the ambushers. I don't know what you're going through. We're fixing to pray, but I want to share with you one more thing because I felt like the Lord wanted me to today. It doesn't matter what you're going through. See, we're trying to change what we're going through. And I agree. I don't want to go through nothing bad. I never want to go to the doctor, ever. I mean, they always want to stick you with metal objects, and I'm opposed to it. But sometimes, you know, are we walking through hard times? Yeah. Chaos, uncertainty. I think that's the biggest thing that's weighing on most people. It's just the total uncertainty. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, there were three crosses. There were three crosses on that day. Obviously, one was Jesus. And we know the story of Jesus. And we know the story of the guy on the left. Guy on the left, criminal. He was mocking Jesus. Joined in with the crowd. Ugh, just holler now. Oh, it's terrible. Where are you? Why don't you do so? Ha ha. Got on his Facebook account. What's going on? I heard so and so. Did you hear that? We know all about him. Anybody got those kind of people in your life? Now, the guy on the right, dang, he had been through the same hell, the same problems, the same beatings. And he looked over there and looked at Jesus and said, you're a king, and you have a kingdom. Can I be in it? And he looked, Jesus looked at him and said, today, we ain't gonna wait till tomorrow. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Let me tell you what I'm promised. I'm promised peace. I'm promised joy. I'm promised his ability. I'm promised the ability to hear him. I'm promised he will walk me through every storm. I'm promised that death doesn't have the final word. I'm promised that my victory is not dependent on my strength. I'm promised to never be alone. You need to hear that today. But better and more importantly, you need to declare it over yourself. You need to declare it over your business. God, show me. You need to declare it over your problems. Because you can point out what's wrong. You can point out what's wrong, and you can point out what's wrong, and you can point out what's wrong, and keep pointing out. You can say it in triplicate. You can say it nicely. You can say it with a holler. You can say it whatever, and it ain't going to change a dang thing. It's just going to make those walls get bigger. But when I start seeing what God sees, all of a sudden, hope arises. All of a sudden, faith right now, when faith start showing up. Whoa. Wait a minute. Now mountains get moved. This is the way we pray over our children when they ain't acting right and ain't doing right. We don't pray out of fear. Oh, God, don't let them. We stand on the promises, God. There's good stuff in them. They're coming back. They are going to come. We have put the word, hey, you're going to come back. You know. And all of a sudden, hope. And I got hope in the midst of chaos. What do you have? Is your relationship with the Lord working for you? If you ain't got joy and peace, I'm not saying I like problems. Please hear that. I don't. I got month at the end of the money sometimes. I mean, they eat a lot. My God, has anybody bought a gallon of milk lately? But guess what? It ain't depending on my ability to make, because God says, promises, I'm a tither, so I know he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. How's your relationship with the Lord working for you? What do you see today? What are you confessing around the dinner table? What promises are you standing on? Or are you standing on the information being given to you? See the difference? I want to pray. I have meatballs waiting for me. I'm excited. Let me tell you what I'm excited about right now. I believe God wants to encourage some of you. I believe God wants to use you. Are you a builder of walls? Or are you a builder of freedom? How do you live your life? Have you so concentrated and worried about a problem over and over again that you cannot think of anything else and you just can't be happy or have joy because of that problem? God wants you to look a little higher today. And we're going to do it for each other. I want you to rise to your feet.